98.5 Sunshine FM. This year's Active Dragonfly Corporate Leaders Luncheon will be held on Thursday of next week at the Perth Exhibition Convention Centre and will feature social commentator and futurist Richard Neville, as well as my next guest, Sam Kekovich. Sam is a former VFL footballer, playing mainly with North Melbourne. These days he's perhaps more well known for his love of lamb, especially around Australia Day. Sam Kekovich, welcome to 98.5 Sunshine FM.
Oh, thank you. What a flattering introduction. I'm absolutely moved. It's almost an epiphany.
Do you think the football of today is the same as the game that you played back in the 70s?
Oh, look, I have these senior moments every now and again. My recollection of the days when I played are very, very, very sparse, I might add. But I think there's a resemblance to it in some shape or form, not a striking one, I might add. It's a vastly different commodity these days, but nevertheless, it's still a wonderful, wonderful attraction.
I guess you wish that it was paid as well as it is today back in the 70s.
Oh, not really. I mean, to say egalitarian values were wonderful compensation for us. We're happy with the intangible qualities of life and a bit of the social and irreverence that went along with being part of Australia in those days growing up. Certainly some of the wage packets, if they could have been augmented, would have been much appreciated, but we learned to get on with what we've had, and in relative terms, I don't think we missed out on a great deal.
So you still enjoy getting down to a game and seeing them kick the ball around?
Oh, yes, indeed so. I'm very much still involved. And, you know, I mean to say, once you've been associated with clubs, and particularly I've been very fortunate to be one, had a very successful era, you know, the mateships and the bondships and the associations you've made over a long period of time are very, very precious. In fact, they're the real treasures. And, of course, more importantly, when you do get to the position that we have been fortunate by the grace of the good Lord, it puts you in a strong position to be able to do some good for the greater community.
You're known for being somewhat controversial, and a lot of what you say is obviously tongue-in-cheek, yet people react quite strongly. Do you think we've become a little too thin-skinned over the years?
Oh, totally. There's no doubt about that. I mean to say, in fact, we've totally contradicted everything we represent. I mean to say, some of our forefathers would roll over in their grave if they realised what they fought for this wonderful, privileged democracy, and then seeing us just squander it away and dumbing down and overdosing on tolerance and immersing ourselves in political correctness and selling down the tube our greatest asset, which is our wonderful culture.
With people clinging so much to that political correctness, I guess it makes it an easy target for a laugh because people take themselves so seriously.
Well, they do. I mean to say, there's a wonderful, I was taught a wonderful lesson earlier in my formative years. You know, never overstate your position. Because if, in fact, you do possess a modicum of talent in any shape or form, it'll be recognised. But unfortunately, not everyone in this in our wonderful land has worked by that edict.
It seems that the greatest insult that you can throw at a person these days is that they're un-Australian, and you've been able to throw that out a few times. But what does that really mean?
Being un-Australian, well, first and foremost, by, well, not being irreverent, not saying it as it is, being patronising and condescending, using euphemistic newspeak, all those things. And but by and large, every now and again, you'll see wonderful examples of being Australian. But unfortunately, it's always in times of hardship and in adversity that our wonderful culture invariably comes to the forefront. And we've seen in more recent times with the fires here in Victoria and Melbourne, those atrocities how wonderful our level of benevolence and altruism is, that we do respond very favourably. But there are other times when we do lay dormant and become very passive.
Do you think that most people are really still living out the Australian life, and it's just that those that we hear from are the ones that are being somewhat un-Australian?
I think most of the majority would like to be. You still have the hills hoist out there and still spray a bit of Vegemite on their toast. I think predominantly that is who we are. But sometimes, unfortunately, the agenda is set by those civil libertarians and legal charlatans that the manner in which that information is disseminated, a lot of us take for gospel, and there's a lack of engagement and debate. And as a consequence, I think that we are clouded by the issues and we don't question enough. So, but I think that's all changing, particularly given the changing topography of the landscape that we live in current times.
I mentioned that you're very well known for your love of lamb. How did that come about, that you got together with the meat and livestock people and they decided to take you on? Because for some people, as an advertiser looking for someone to front their brand, they wouldn't want someone too controversial, and yet that's what you bring to the brand, and that's what's made it so popular.
Well, the prime prerequisite for my employer was obviously erudition and good looks. So on that score, no, I guess they're to be applauded to a degree without being boastful. I mean to say, what they did was quite audacious, and they're not renowned for being audacious. They're a very conservative operation, but they thought they would stretch the boundaries and be a little bit lateral, and it just shows you what you can do with a bit of irreverence and, well, tongue-in-cheek to a degree, but saying it as it is and being Australian, and we did push the boundaries, and by and large, we struck a very common chord with the average Australian punter who sees it and agrees with exactly what we say, or what I say, more importantly. So, and that's the way I feel about most issues, and it just highlights what we were alluding to earlier and what the guts of this interview has been all about, is about being Australian. And that's the reason for the enormity of it, or the gravity and the traction that it's acquired. Bearing in mind also, having said that, I've got a wonderful product to peddle as well. I mean to say, you couldn't do it with a B-class product. I mean to say, lamb is the staple diet of this wonderful country, and the Australian farmer is the iconic figure in our society.
You're coming to Perth next week for Active. What can people expect at the Active Dragonfly Corporate Leaders Luncheon?
After I've finished delivering my dissertation, or during my dissertation, is that what you're asking me, content of my speech?
Well, I guess it's a leaders' luncheon. What are you going to help our leaders come to terms with at the luncheon?
Well, it's quite conceivable this may be the last luncheon when I deliver my sermon. And I give them the real facts of where the leaders really stand. No, I think what'll take place, we'll say it as it is about being Australian, and you know, leadership has changed also. People are looking for leadership now, and our leaders, we're expecting a little bit more from our leaders. No longer is the ivory office, you know, the ivory tower, and you know, all the pomp and ceremony and all that opulence, that doesn't wear anymore. You know, we need to roll up our sleeves, and we need to be you know, in the trenches and over the parapet.
98.5 Sunshine FM. I'm speaking to Sam Kekovich, who's going to be in Perth next week, going to be the guest speaker, or one of the guest speakers, at the Active Dragonfly Corporate Leaders Luncheon, being held at the Perth Exhibition Convention Centre. Sam, it must be also great, as you alluded to right when we started, it gives you opportunity, this notoriety that you've received, it gives you opportunity to get behind some worthwhile causes like Active.
Indeed so, and that's one of the greatest treasures. That's a great spin-off. Because in all sincerity, it's also taught me a degree of empathy, not that I was devoid of it, but it certainly has taught me a larger degree of empathy, because it's given me an opportunity with my prominence to go out into the broader country and do a lot of good work with men's health, for argument's sake, that we have gone out there in backwater places where, you know, we've managed to spread the good news about prostate and other issues that, you know, farmers, because of their isolation and by virtue of the fact that they still perceive themselves to be, it's still un-Australian to display emotion, that we've broken down a lot of those barriers. We've transcended a lot of those barriers with our irreverence and a bit of humour and not taking ourselves too serious. And that's the other message that I'll be getting across very strongly to our leaders, that, you know, a little bit of humour and, you know, just breaking down the barriers is terribly, terribly important. Humour is the elixir of life, and it's a, you know, it is a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Well, Sam, we're all looking forward to catching up with you at that leadership luncheon next week. And thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for your time. Look forward to being with you.